G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 193, brought to you by our Patreon members community. Without the support of our patrons, we simply could not be bringing you this podcast each and every week. So if you get something from the podcast, or you're a member of the Fasting Highway Facebook group, and you just want to support us by helping us get the podcast to you, you can do that by joining the Patreon community. You get something back in return if you want some accountability with your intermittent fasting lifestyle. There's two Zoom meetings a month in both the Northern and Southern Hemisphere members where they can come in and get some accountability. These meetings are hosted by myself. We also have experienced fasters of some years come in and help people and troubleshoot. So you can get that twice a month for as little as $5. You also get extra bonus content, bonus podcast and discussion content in the Fasting Highway Patreon community. You can find the link to join that there in the show notes at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. And I just wanted to thank our new members this week, and Stephanie, Steph, Shelley, Karen O, Lisa, Jenna, Marie, Donna, Carl, and Terry. Thank you so much for supporting our Patreon members community, and thank you to all the members that have been joining. There's been quite a lot of you over the last couple of months, and thank you for that, and I'm glad you're getting something back from it, and thank you for the great feedback. Okay, folks, let's get on with today's podcast, and I'm going to be speaking with Jude Gregory. And Jude resides here in Perth in Western Australia. And Jude has just celebrated her one-year anniversary of living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. And it hasn't always been a smooth sailing for Jude, and she's had a few hiccups in the road, as you'll hear about. But I don't want to spoil the story any further here. I'll leave it for Jude to tell it. So here she is, Jude Gregory. Oh, g'day, Jude, and welcome to the Fasting Highway. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here, just down the road there at a lovely area down there near Rockingham where you live here in Western Australia. And you're a very popular member of the Fasting Highway Facebook group, so we're delighted to have you here. But Jude, just for the people out there that don't know of you or your story, if you wouldn't mind sharing some of that, some backstory, and how you actually got your pathway to intermittent fasting.
Yeah, sure. No problem. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on. I'll start with my stats, because I know people always like to know the stats and where we're at, and as just a starting point. So I'm 49 years old. I'm 6'1", so that's 185 centimetres tall. So quite well, I think I'm normal, but quite tall. My starting weight, which was when I started IF, was October 2022, was 97.5 kilos, which is around 215 pounds. My goal range back then was around 75 kilos, so about 165 pounds. I have now reached my goal weight, which is now between 72 and 74 kilos, so about 163 pounds. So I've lost about 25 kilos since October last year. So that's the stats. A bit about my background, and I won't go too much into background because I like to focus on the now and the forward rather. But I grew up in quite an active family. We had we were always playing sports, and we played netballs. We were always at swimming carnivals, so pretty active, you know, out on bikes. But we always had the mentality of eat what was on your plate. So you finish what was on your plate, and it was always your three square meals a day kind of thing. I remember as a child, we used to have what they called a 40-hour famine in the school. And I never did one of those because it was always like, oh, I can't not eat. I have to eat. So it was always like, well, just donate the money. Don't worry about, starving yourself if you like. So, which is definitely a different way now. But up into my early to mid 30s, I never even thought about weight. It was never an issue for me. I was pretty active, did some gym work. So it was never a focus until I reached about my mid 40s. I started to put on the weight, really. I always had the mentality of eat less, move more, and that was what how I would lose weight. I never really dieted. It was always just you just got to work out more. You got to eat less. I did the typical Weight Watchers, probably mid 40s, and I think I went to three weigh-ins. I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. I didn't like doing the calorie counting. I didn't like counting the points. I don't like doing that kind of stuff, so I didn't do it. So I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. I remember back in 2015, I joined a fitness challenge group, and it was a small gym group, so it was about lifting weights, eating less pretty much. So I actually did really well. I lost about 8 kilos over the 12-week period. And at that time, I was running a lot. I used to do a few half marathons, so I was working out a lot.
I think that's really typical of a lot of us, what you were talking about there. And I remember those 40-hour famines back at school there. And I think most of us lasted about 10 hours at that before we were finding a corner shop or something to get some snacks and that sort of thing. But yeah, it was really difficult, those sorts of things. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, how can anyone possibly ever go 40 hours without eating, or even 10 hours without eating, or 15 hours without eating? So it can be very challenging when we come to intermittent fasting and all of a sudden we're confronted with that. So when you first came along, Jute, how did you actually find out about intermittent fasting? Where did you get the information from?
I actually found out about intermittent fasting through my beautician. So she had mentioned it. It was just the general chit chat that you have at the beauticians, and she mentioned it. I'd not heard of it before. She mentioned Dr. Jason Fung's obesity code. So that was in August 2022. So I thought, oh, okay, I'd got to the point where, so I was 48 then, and I just resolved myself to, this is what happens when you get older. I'm just gonna be putting on the weight. So that was after the COVID hit. So I'd started working from home when COVID hit. So started wearing the track pants and the good comfy clothes. So it was easy to ignore it, if you like. I stopped weighing myself because I didn't want to. That was just no, I wasn't going to weigh myself. My clothes started getting a bit tighter, and I was like, nah, just stick with the old good old gym wear, etc. I looked at the intermittent fasting. I thought, okay, yep, I can do this. And I'd started listening to a few podcasts, just some random ones that I found around. I listened to a little bit of the Obesity Code. I'm an audio booker, so I listened to that. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give this fasting thing a whirl. Well, I went about it the wrong way. So I was having your 3 meals a day. I'm not really a snacker, so the snacking stuff, that side of thing, it wasn't a big issue for me. But I thought, okay, right, I'm not going to eat for a whole day. So I remember this. It was probably about September, and I jumped in and thought, yep, that's it. I jumped on the treadmill, which I hadn't used for about 6 months, and that was great. I had a good run, and then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I got a splitting headache. I was clammy, I was shaking, I felt nauseous, and I thought, oh my goodness, what have I done? Well, clearly I was dehydrated. And I remember I had to pick my husband up from the airport that night. He works away. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't even think I can drive to pick him up. But I had something to eat and I felt better. I continued to listening to the podcasts, and I actually came across the Fasting Highway, and I was listening to people's stories and their journeys, and got a little bit more information on how it should be done properly. So not jumping into it full on, I'm not eating. So I listened to some more podcasts. Now, my sister visited in September. She wanted to go shopping, and I thought, all right. So I thought, oh, yeah, I'll try on some clothes. Well, I was mortified. I couldn't, it was two sizes up and I just couldn't fit them. I almost cried in the dressing and, you know, in the changing room. So I thought, right, this is it. I'm going to start. So it was October, late October 2022 that I actually started putting the protocols into place. So just doing it slowly. So I just moved out my breakfast. Started doing it a little bit more mindfully and thinking about what I was actually doing. So, and I didn't find it hard at all. So in the next few months, I actually dropped about 10 kilos, about 22 pounds. And I didn't actually find it too hard. And I realized a lot of that was, you know, the water weight and inflammation. I found that after probably about that time, I started feeling better. There wasn't so many aches and pains and getting up in the morning. And I was like, oh, I actually feel a bit better without actually realizing it. I was able to walk a bit more. When COVID struck, and so before, when I was going into the office every day, I'd wear heels. Because I'm tall, I don't wear high heels, but it was still a bit of a heel. So when we came to working in the office, I was just wearing flats or slippers or no shoes at all, and I actually tore a lot of my Achilles. So I had little tears up them, so I could hardly walk some days. It was really painful. And after a few months, I would say it would be about around January this year, 2023, I started to realize that I could walk with less pain, and I was thinking, wonder why that is. And I really truly believe that it was the fasting that's helped me through that, because it's actually given my body a time to help and heal itself. Yeah,
controlling the inflammation, that sort of thing. And you know, when we have injuries like that, inflammation is one of the causes of pain, as we know. So, you know, and by fasting and we're, you know, keeping our insulin low, it does help with inflammation and get it out of our bodies. So that does help reduce pain. I noticed I've got arthritis in my right hip, and I found fasting very beneficial for that. You know, I had psoriasis. There were so many things. But we talk about the NSVs and the non-scale victories. And aside from the first few months when you started and you saw losing a bit of weight, that 10 kilos, was there anything other happening that, apart from the clothes, that you were thinking, wow, what's going on here? You know, like you just mentioned one of them there. But those NSVs and health benefits, could you see them starting to range through after a few months?
Oh, absolutely. I was able to get out walking more. Before I could hardly walk, I was actually able to go out down our foreshore. We've got a beautiful coastline here, so go for longer walks. I could walk without being out of breath for longer. I knew I was pretty unfit because previous years I used to be very fit and run half marathons, but hadn't done that for a long time. So just being able to do a little bit more and getting out of bed without, you know, I call it the old lady the old lady size, and it's getting up off the couch without, you know, without hurting. And that was really good.
We'll wind it back to that fasting protocol. What was your fasting protocol with your hours, and how did that change earlier on? And did you also get the message of the clean fast after you got some of that information from those audio books and so forth?
Yeah, yes, I was clean fasting. I did pick up that pretty quickly from some of the audio books. And I never used to have a lot of milk or cream in my coffee anyway, so it was no big issue just to go for black coffee. And I wasn't a snacker, so I didn't find that too difficult at all. The more I got to about the protocols, so it was around in February that I got a little bit stuck with things. I don't know if it was probably a little bit head stuck with how I was viewing things and things. And then when I actually had a one-on-one Zoom call with you, I saw that, you know, saw you'd advertise that. So, and that was then when a lot of how to do things came into place. So with the moving slowly from the 16 to then to the 18, but I would say I was more of I eat a meal rather than the hours. So I would eat a lunch and then I would not eat. So I would have a lunch and then I would have a dinner. So I was more thinking about the meals rather than the hours. I'm still concentrating on trying to increase those hours to, you know, one, to lose weight, but I also found that a few of the, I guess, the, if you want to say the longer fast, so up to 24 hours, I did actually feel better with that. I mix it up a little bit now. So generally through the week, it'll be an evening meal around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. I tend to have just one plate, if you like. I did try the having the like entree, having the main meal, having a dessert, but I found that I ate too much. And then one of the things that I do struggle with, I guess still struggle with, it's one of the struggles, it's not always roses, but is that stopping. So stopping when you fall, just going, no, I don't need to eat that on my plate. And that's one of my mindset things, which has really been a big thing for me, is stop when you're full. You don't have to eat at all.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that's what we want to work towards. It's that appetite correction kicks in. And you know, did you get that feeling that your appetite was correcting in the early stages of your journey in the first few weeks? And sort of how long did that take before you thought, wow, this is really, I'm really listening to these signals now where I do feel full, I do feel satiated, and I'm able to stop. When did that come about?
Probably more when I thought about it, really. So after we had that chat, so after I would think it would be about March this year, where I actually sat down and thought about when I ate, or when I was more mindful about what I was doing rather than just consuming food, because food to me is more about just consumption. I don't like cooking. I don't like cooking now. I never liked cooking before. So food was just consumption to me. So to actually sit down and think about what I'm eating, I actually do, when I say I don't like food, I do like food, but I don't like preparing it. So I spend more time now thinking about what I'm going to eat. I like a good piece of steak, a nice piece of chicken, the vegetables. I try and stay away from the, you know, the refined, definitely stay away from the refined carbs. You know, I still do eat the potato and the sweet potato occasionally, but I do like to have the nice, fresh, prepared things so it looks nice on your plate. But appetite correction, I would say about March, where I actually, and it's still a conscious decision, where I actually still have to think and be conscious about what I'm eating.
So you're more or less what we call an intuitive faster. You're not so much hooked up on the hours, you're more hooked up about learning to get in tune with your body and your body's true hunger signal. So you just eat when you think it's appropriate, and away you go from there. And then you do the same thing the next day, basically, but you try to get that sort of, you know, enough hours in to make the fast count, so to speak, so we can get to that fat burning process. So that's quite an amazing amount of weight to lose in a year. And over the last year, what would be the biggest thing that you think that you've learned, not only about yourself, but about fasting, and what some of the things that you sort of picked up that really made a difference to your journey?
Mindset has been a big change for me, and that I'm actually, how am I going to respond if I'm hungry? Well, no, actually, I take control of that now. And yes, there is true hunger, where you do need to eat when you are hungry. It's not just about food, and it's not just about the scale, and it's not just about fasting. You know, I find that we say about fasting, it's just about not eating. Well, no, it's about the food as well, on the other side of the fasting window, if you like. But it's also about sleep. It's about your hydration. It's about your stress levels. It's about your nutrition and all that goes with it. You know, your hormones as well. So, and it's just more than about eating and not eating. Yeah. And I found that really interesting. I like to gather information. I wouldn't say I'm a researcher. I'm an information gatherer. So I like to look at a whole range of things and how it works. Just recently, and I won't go too much into this, but recently I did a little bit of I guess, information gathering about the continuous glucose monitors and your glucose and how that does affect you. And I wouldn't say I'm not an expert on it by any means. And I actually gave a continuous glucose monitor a try for just for the 2 weeks. And I thought I'll give this a try. It was actually really interesting to see the different spikes. And yes, of course, you know, you have your sweets. Yes, they will spike your blood sugar glucose. But I actually set up my time very purposely. I actually set it up where I knew I was going to have cake one day, and I saw that spike go up. But what I was more interested in was how quickly it was coming down. And I think I've just become, in the last, probably since about June, July, I guess when I've reached my target, I've become more confident to be able to try a few more things without thinking, oh no, what's that going to do to the scale? Because now the scale doesn't control me. The scale's just a guide. And I felt more confident to be able to try a few more things, like this continuous glucose monitor, where I could go, okay, yes, that piece of cake is going to spike my glucose, but how long is it going to take to come down? And, you know, and having a meal of protein, of how long that would take to come down and the spikes and things. But what interested me quite a lot was the stress levels. So I've got a dog that's can be quite reactive to other dogs. So it can be quite stressful taking her out sometimes. And I was quite interested to see, after a bit of a stressful walk with her one day, my glucose monitor shot up. And I was quite interested. I hadn't eaten. I was still fasting. I was actually, it had been about 16 hours. But my glucose levels went up to the same as what it was after I'd had a piece of cake. So I found that quite interesting. So I think I quite like the one meal a day, just eating in the evenings. Sometimes I change it up a bit. Sometimes I'll do a have a lunch one day, then I'll have a dinner the next day. But it's not about the losing the weight now, because I've got to that point. So I don't want to lose any more. But also, again, just, you know, trying the different things out. I've done a couple of longer fasts with, the longest one I've done is 48 hours. But that was one more to see if I could do it, for mindset wise as well, but also just because of the, you know, the health benefits of that as well. Now, also to note that I do that very consciously. It's planned. It's when somebody is around. I'm very conscious of when I don't just wake up one day and go, I'm going to do a 48 hour fast. It's very planned. I have my days planned. I know what I'm doing. But I also take notice of how I'm feeling at the time as well. I'll make sure I've got enough electrolytes in me, enough hydration, et cetera, as well. So, but yeah, it is definitely a different mindset with maintenance. But I also like to view analogies. I like my mind thinks in pictures, if you like. So I almost think of it, and I like the title you've got of, you know, the fasting highway, and that's often what I refer to. It's the journey, and I'm on this journey, and I'm, you know, either on a bicycle or on a car going down the road. But, you know, the road's not flat all the time. There's hills and there's bumps and there's corners, and, you know, you can go off on some different tracks, you know, and some days it does feel like it's a bit uphill, and it's like, well, at least I'm on that journey. There is no end point. And I think that's what I found different with you know, a lot of these previous exercise challenges, or, you know, eat less, move more, was people didn't focus on the what next. This is just like an extension. It's, yep, I've reached my goal. I'm happy where I'm at. And it's just extending that. It's extending that. But I also think, so I've heard some people talk about, you know, the shorter goals. So one of the things I found useful is I break things up into smaller chunks. So you might think, well, this is, you know, thinking of forever is too long, for some people. And I've heard some people talk about that, they get to the 3 months or 6 months and they go, I can't, I get stuck, or I don't like the fall off the wagon, or I fall off the wagon. I don't have a wagon to fall off now. So, but it's just a different path. And I was thinking about that one day and I thought, break things down into smaller chunks. So you might go, okay, so after that 3 months I get stuck. Well, that's fine. Just change your focus for a little bit. Just change the path that you're on. Because it's not about falling off or, starting again. You've already started, so it's, continuing on that journey.
Yeah, you talked about, intermittent fasting just isn't about eating. It's much, much more. It's a whole lifestyle. It's a whole package. And it's something that we're rewiring, not only the way we eat, the way we live, the way we interact with food, alcohol, our social lives, everything. Everything changes when you become an intermittent faster for the long period of time. And I mean, for me, I always say to people, if you can fast for longer than a year and you get some results from it, then you've got the experience behind you to know that it works and you have that conviction, because I think it takes people 6 to 12 months to actually believe in it. Because sometimes when you do it for a few weeks or do anything for a few weeks, you think, wow, this is really good. And I'm sure the Atkins diet was really good for a few weeks, or something else is really good for a few weeks. And then all of a sudden you revert back and you go back to what you were doing before, and all hell breaks loose and you regain the weight. But with intermittent fasting, I think once we get past that first year, then the conviction gets stronger, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And actually, an example of that, of if you think you're going to go back to it, I went shopping the other day and I tried on a pair of jeans, and I initially tried a size pair of 31s. It was a pair of Levi's. Changed. Tried a pair of 31s, and I thought, oh, these are probably going to be a bit tight. Well, the lady came in and said, no, you need, she had a look at them and she said, no, you need to go down to 29, which is two sizes smaller. And my immediate thought was, oh, but what happens if I put on all this weight again? And I consciously had to stop myself and say, no, you are not going back to that weight, because you know what to do now. It's not an option to go back to that weight. And I think one of them, like we always talk about our whys, if we've got strong whys. And I caught myself thinking, what if I go back? And I was like, oh, hang on. No, going back is not an option, because I've got all these whys as my foundation.
Yeah, 100%. And that's when the tough days come in, and that's when you got to dig into the whys. And it's the same when I talk about when people go shopping, right? And they make those choices, and sometimes they're not the healthiest choices, and they'll just make them instantaneously. Like if you stood at the end of a lolly and chip aisle, right? And you watch people, they grab things very quickly in those aisles, and they throw it into their trolley. It's almost like they don't want to talk themselves out of it. Whereas if you go around to the fruit and veg section, go and stand there for a few minutes, you'll see people examining things, looking for the best produce they can get, looking for the best, highest quality food that they can find in that section. And so they take their time. It's a real thought process. But when you go to the more unhealthier sections of the store, if you like, you'll notice people's behavior change, and they just start grabbing things and throw it in a trolley. And often you'll see them, moving things around in their trolley in case their neighbors see them. They've got four bars of chocolate in there or something, because that's just how they think, right? And I notice that quite a lot. And I think when I say to people, when you have that thought process of, I'm going to take these three bars of chocolate home, when you can stop and dig into those whys you just talked about, why am I doing fasting? Why am I fasting for 18 hours a day? What is the purpose of that? When I go into my eating window, am I going to complement that clean fast, or am I going to undo it by putting all these unhealthy foods back in my body? So it sort of defeats the purpose, if you know what I mean. And that takes a bit of work. It takes time to work through that. And I think that's why everybody that does fasting, they find themselves gravitating towards a higher quality of food. Has that come about for you?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. My husband is a wonderful cook, and he will often do all the shop, most of the shopping when he's home anyway. So I'll run into our local fruit and veggie shop down the road, and they've got some really good stuff. But absolutely, it's, to be honest, I just don't like it. I don't like the taste of it as well. Now, I used to be big on like chips and crisps and, you know, having your cheese boards and things, but I actually don't enjoy it anymore. So, and I'm not saying that I will never, I won't have it, because I will, because it's not about perfection. I just don't enjoy it.
Let's just dig into your eating window a bit, because I know people always message me and they say, "Oh, you never ask them what they're eating, you know." So let's just talk about that a bit from when you were starting. What when you said that you just enjoy like a one plate a day more so than that restaurant style OMAD. Talk us through that. What does that look like? Is that like, say, you're at Christmas and you just have a big plate of food and then that's it for a day? Or how does that usually roll for you? And what's your typical food style?
A typical meal for me, I would have a piece of steak or a piece of chicken. So a piece of a bit of protein, piece of chicken, piece of steak. I'm quite a bland eater. I don't like a lot of frills and marinades and all that. So I'm quite a bland eater. Then I have some steamed veggies, just depend, or you know, some veggies depending on what's in season. I would often add like a boiled egg to that, some avocado. And I'd eat that first, so I'm conscious now of how I eat what's on my plate as well. So prioritizing the protein first. When my husband's home, he works away, so he would do a potato oven baked chips or something, which I'll occasionally have when he's home. But generally, it'd just be that piece of protein and the vegetables, some avocado and an egg on that. I found that if I do that one plate, I tend to eat less. When I say eat less, I'm still conscious that I'm getting all my nutrition in. So I'm still conscious that I'm not thinking eat less, but conscious, I'm more conscious about getting the nutrition in of that I need to get.
Yeah, so this process is what, usually like half an hour, 40 minutes, something like that, and you're pretty much done. Yeah,
Correct.
okay. Yeah, and I think that's really interesting. You know, for some people, OMAD for me is a restaurant style, as you know. I like to open, like to have something, like just before I had some, you know, some cheese and some crackers and a few berries. And then, you know, I had a cream and my coffee to open my eating window. And then I'll probably just have an omelet tonight because I'm not terribly hungry. But I think we really learn too a lot about our bodies, and we're fed this myth all our life. Breakfast is the most important day of the meal of the day. You've got to eat six times a day. You've got to keep your metabolism flying. You've got to keep eating. You've got to keep eating all these different five fruits and vegetables. But the reality is, the human body doesn't need as much food as what we think it does. What it does need is good food and good nutrition. And it can also make a huge difference in an intermittent fasting lifestyle, because I've had people come to me that have been mentored, similar to what I did with you. And they'll say to me, "Graham, I don't want to give up that stuff, you know, because I was a dieter." And, you know, and I say, "Well, okay, so this isn't working for you. So you need to sort of say to yourself, am I going to delay or deny something?" And that's not diet brain. That's just common sense, right? If something's not working for you, if those four or five donuts in your eating window aren't working for you, then once you take them out and you do it for about a month and you see the result, then you'll see what I mean. By just making that one switch, or sometimes delaying those three glasses of wine in the evening when you're not seeing the scale move, sometimes if you can just delay that, then that's not denying yourself. That's just tweaking and seeing what works. And I think it really is a case of finding those trigger foods that are spiking your weight and then finding those alternatives that are helping you get to the goals you want to get to, Duke.
I find that I think again with the mindset things, a lot of the things that I was doing was habit. I would do things out of habit. So, you know, during the summer we'd sit outside, you know, and you have your cheese and crackers. Well, that was habit, and I was just doing it for the, you know, just because it was there. And again, like you mentioned, alcohol. I was during COVID, I was starting to drink more. Every night I was starting to have a glass. And then it became two glasses. And then I was thinking, goodness me. And then it just became, you know, it's just what I do, you know. And then I started to think, why am I doing this? Because things, it might have had a, you know, a day at work where you've just gone, oh, I've just got to have a glass of wine. Well, no, I didn't have to have a glass of wine. And, you know, that definitely, the alcohol definitely contributed to my weight gain as well. But one of the habits that I used, which I think some people might think I'm a bit silly for doing this, but you know, just so I would have a glass, I would have water or some sparkling water, but I'd have it in a glass of wine because I like drinking out of a wine glass. But I put the water in a, and I, you know, in a wine glass. So it was just, you know, it was a bit of a mindset change, I guess. But I don't do that now. I'm quite happy to have, you know, sparkling water. And yes, I still have a, you know, a couple of glasses, possibly if we're going out or if we're at home in the weekends. But I definitely don't drink as much as I used to.
Where to from here, Jude? Now you've sort of reached this point. What are you looking at now with your maintenance and looking ahead? How do you think you're going to sort of go forward?
Well, I'm still actually, you know, just trying a few things. I find that if I do one meal a day, with or the one plate a day, I still tend to drop a little bit of weight with that. But I find doing the two meals a day, so if I do a lunch and a dinner, I tend to increase it a little bit. So I'm just weighing up between the finding a happy medium there if just how that works. I need to start working on a little bit of exercise. I know people talk about exercise. So generally what I've done this past year is walk for 30 to 40 minutes, probably three to four times a week. So what I'd like to do now is start to increase a little bit of weight, body work, a way to exercise. I've got kettlebells at home. I like doing kettlebell. Well, I used to like doing kettlebells, but again, I'm conscious of that needs to be a sustainable long term. I need to be able to do that. I'm not gonna, before I would have gone right 5 days a week, I'm gonna do weights and but I'm not gonna do that now. It needs to be maintainable, something that I can carry on and something that I enjoy as well. My mindset around exercise has definitely been a huge change. I exercise now because I enjoy it and because it's good for my health. I don't exercise to lose weight.
And the fact that
It's not.
you've lost 25 kilos or 55 pounds off your body as well, and it feels good to exercise, right? It feels good to walk
Absolutely.
because you're moving better and you feel better. You're not getting all the aches and pains from carrying. 25 kilos is a lot of weight, 55 pounds. You go and pick up 55 pounds of potatoes in a sack and carry that around on your back, and that's going to weigh you down. So when you get that off, and it was the same for me, I found that nothing was ever going to be close to doing the exercise when I was the weight I was, 160 odd kilos, because it was just too hard. But then when I started losing the weight and I thought, well, okay, I can go for a bit of a walk now. Then I started losing more weight. The walks got longer. Then you've heard me talk about the day I broke out into a jog. And then I thought, this is fantastic. And then I started doing multi-day hikes. I mean, who would ever thought Graham Curry was doing 5-day multi-day hikes of some of the toughest terrain in Australia? Yet here I was doing it with two mates, and it was one of the greatest things I've done since I've been doing this, just that accomplishment. And there's so many things that we can do now, Jude, like that moment when you went and got those jeans in that store. I mean, a lot of people listen to that and they think, oh, well, you know, okay, you went and got some jeans, but I don't understand that, you know, that's amazing when you have that. And like I had the same situation. The lady said to me, I went in for 36s, Levi's. And she said, oh, you should try these 34 athletic tapers. Even the name athletic tapers, I was like, whoa, okay. Me, athletic tapers, are you kidding? And I put these jeans on and they fitted me like a glove. And I was just like, wow, I'm wearing 34-inch waist. My waist was 48 inches at one point. And so it is a big deal. And I think when you can just go into any clothing store with your sister now, and you two should go shopping again, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely. And it's definitely, oh, you just feel so much better. And you know, I've done this for me. I've not done it so people can look at me and go, oh, look at the weight she's lost, or you look good. I've done it for me, because I was feeling horrible about myself. I didn't like to go out, but now, you know, we went out at the weekend and I love putting on these clothes that I can fit again. And I think that's important though, of why. And it's for me. And yes, people notice and it's great, but yeah,
Well, yeah, well,
I feel good about myself.
they can't help but notice. I'm sure your husband's noticed, you know, 25 kilos off your wife in a year is amazing. And speaking of support networks, like your husband obviously being on board with you, how have you found your support networks and staying plugged into your tribe and that sort of thing? What do you do in that space?
Well, the the podcast is great to listen to. I always listen to the weekly podcast and keeping up on those, keeping encouraged by people's stories as well. But on the Facebook page as well, just reading people's and occasionally putting a post up there for myself, just either a brag post or oh, this went right or this went wrong. Or it's not even about right or wrong, but just putting a post up and people's support. And it's amazing, people that you don't even know that are just saying all these nice things, and you're like, wow. And that's really good. And that's actually one reason that I reached out to yourself for the one-on-one, because for that first few months, yes, I did lose weight and I was doing it by myself, and but I just needed that little bit of extra support. But in saying, and that's been really good, that's helped me along. But I'm very conscious of who I tell and what I tell people as well. Obviously, people now are noticing that I have lost weight, but it's also been interesting that it's really only been the last 3 to 4 months where people have actually started to notice the weight loss. So while the past probably, between October and March, I didn't feel like it was very noticeable. Then all of a sudden, my body seems to have gone whoot, into, shrunk, if you like. But I'm very conscious of who I tell and what I tell people.
Yeah, that's interesting because I remember when I first met you when you came for the one-on-one with me, and I see you now. And when you came onto the screen, I couldn't help but notice how glowing your skin was and how healthy you look and vibrant and just that positive personality bursting out in you and just that mindset shift that you've had. And sometimes we can get into some pretty dark places about our weight and how we feel about ourselves. And that's why we keep talking about using positive self-affirmations daily. Rewiring about the way we think about ourselves, turning the negatives into positives about how we feel about, each day when we wake up. So, you know what, Jude, you're going to have a great day today. You're a great wife to your husband. You're a great role model to your friends. You join in with the Fasting Highway and the Patreon community, and you're really supportive there. So there's a lot of great things to love about Jude. You know what I mean? So when you start finding those things to love about ourselves, and I say to everybody, love yourself first, because when you do that, you can then push love out to everybody else. Because a lot of the problems when people's health goes is that they're usually people that really love all those people around them. They've got husbands, wives, grandkids, workmates, friends, whatever it may be, and they're running around trying to help everybody else and they forget about themselves. They don't take that time. So if you just take 5 or 10 minutes a day just to practice those self-affirmations, whether that's just out aloud or within yourself or writing them down in the journal, the wheel will really start turning, I think, Jude. And I found that extremely helpful.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. And actually, it's something on the weekend that just really clicked to me. But when I was thinking about the exercise, I've been trying to, get up a bit early. I'm not a morning person. I shouldn't say I'm not a morning person. I don't like mornings. I don't like getting up early. I have to for work, obviously, but I've been trying to get up just a little bit early, just to do a bit of exercise in the morning. And I had this thought the other day. I thought, I don't have to do it, but I want to do it. And my want to do it is stronger than my I have to do it. And just changing that little bit of wording in my head has now helped me just go, no, I'm going to get up in the mornings now. And I wake up in the mornings and I go, yeah, I want to get up and I want to get on, either go out for a walk or get on that treadmill, even if it's for 10 minutes.
And you touched on the environment too that you live in. You do live in a very beautiful environment down there. You have some of the best beaches in Western Australia along that coast, and it's a lovely walk along there. And I think when you have an environment like that, that to use it to your advantage, And speaking of environments, and it's something I like to ask people, particularly around their eating style and their eating windows. A lot of people, when they eat, they'll eat in front of the TV or they'll be looking at their phone or they're not disconnecting. Is that something that's changed for you, the way you do that?
That's something that I have been very conscious of, and I'm still very conscious of, and something that I still need to work on. I do often sit in front of TV, but I'll often turn it down. If my husband's home, we sit in front of TV and we kind of have a conversation while we're talking. But it's something that I think is very important, of slowing down, because again, with food just being consumption for me, I just used to consume. I didn't think about it. So absolutely, it's definitely being mindful of your eating and where you eat as well, like that. So it is something that I do need to work on better.
Yeah, I think it makes a huge difference, because when you're disconnecting from that digital space and just focusing on your food, you know, practicing that slowing down and eating more mindfully, chewing slower, just engaging and engaging with the person that you're sitting with. Because, you know, when you go to a restaurant, right, you'll see those couples out and they go out for this lovely night. They both get dressed up and they go to this beautiful restaurant and they're sitting there and they've both got their phones out, right? And you're looking at them and you're going, man, well, why did you guys bother actually to come out for dinner if all you're going to do is look at your phones? And as you said, people watch TV. But if you can find a really nice environment just to sit, whether it's your lovely dining table or whether it's out on the back deck, we have beautiful weather here. You can sit outside in the evenings. And I think that does make a big difference. And talking about your glucose monitor there for a minute, I mean, I've never worn one. I don't really know a lot about them. I know what they do. But one of the interesting things about it was, as you've heard me talk about that evening promenade, like I talked to you about before, you know, when you have that, have your meal in the evenings, you'll go down to the foreshore there and you'll go for a 5 or 10 minute stroll with the dog. And I bet you if you come back and you start measuring your CGM after you do that, you'll see a significant drop in that spike, because that's what I think that's really great for. Because I know I started doing it in my maintenance lifestyle just to cap that spike in the evenings. And I also found that it really helped with my, you know, my rest period. And I felt better when I went to bed just by doing that short 5-10 minute stroll. It doesn't have to be strenuous or anything. It could be getting onto a vibration plate. It could be doing 10 minutes on a stationary bike, but just doing something after you finish that, close your window and have that evening meal and see what makes a difference.
Absolutely. It's something that I've started doing recently as well, or even just, you know, going to play with the dogs outside, just doing a bit of movement, or just standing up from where I'm sitting down and just doing, you know, some squats or something, moving my legs or something, just, and it may not sound much, but just that little bit of movement. And yes, it did. I did find during that 2 weeks of using that continuous glucose monitor, it did come down quickly. Oh, when I say quick, more quickly than if I didn't do anything after I ate.
Yeah, so hugely beneficial. And Marty Kendall's done a lot of work on that, as you probably know, on his website, Optimizing Nutrition. Marty's been on the podcast a couple of times. But, you know, I can't tell you how inspiring you've been today, Jew. You certainly are an inspiring member of the Fasting Highway and the Patreon group. And we've got a meeting coming up in about half an hour's time for our friends down here in the Southern Hemisphere. We did one in the Northern Hemisphere this morning. It's been fantastic, the accountability from that. So if anybody's out there and they want to support the podcast and get some benefits back, well, come and join us in the Patreon community. And as Jude referred to there, you can book in with me on a one-on-one call by going to the website. But Jude, just before we go today, if you're sitting around in the cafe down there in your beautiful part of the world and some friends are saying, man, Jude, you look amazing, how are we going to get about this? What are we going to do? How do we start? Where do we begin?
I say to the, I've said to a few people that have asked me, I said, it's about when I eat. It's not about how much, or it's about when I eat and the times I eat. And depending on how interested they are, a lot of response I get is, if I say I'm, you know, I'm just breaking down, a lot of the response I get is, oh, I could never not have breakfast. And I often reply with, well, that was what I was like before. But if you just give it a try, you're not going to die if you don't not have breakfast. You know, give it a try for a few weeks, see how you feel, just get some more information, listen to some podcasts. I often refer people to the podcasts, just listen to people's stories, and just get inspired by that way, and just take it slowly, listen to your body, and don't get overwhelmed with everything. Just if I had all this information that I have now, I would have been overwhelmed. But just take it slowly. It's about when you eat. Get some information. It's about when you eat and how you eat.
Yeah. I think the moral of the story with information is, you know, no matter what it is, a podcast, a book, YouTube video, whatever it may be. And as, you know, R.I.P. Bruce Lee used to say, absorb what is useful, discard what is not. And that's how you process information, because you take all the information in, and then you use the information that's beneficial and you discard the information that's not. But, dude, thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway. I'm really going to look forward to catching up with you in 6 to 12 months' time to see where you are there. But thanks once again.
Thank you, Graham. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure's been all mine. Cheers. Oh, thank you so much, Jude. Thoroughly enjoyed that chat with you. What an amazing journey so far over the first year. You had a few hiccups and we had a chat and you got back on board with it. And you've really applied yourself, and I can't tell you how proud I am of you that what you've done is remarkable in a short space of time. And thank you for sharing your story, and it was great to have a local here from Western Australia on the podcast. We look forward to catching up with you in another 6 or 12 months' time. Also, folks, as you heard, the podcast is now brought to you by the Patreon community. I'd really suggest you give the Patreon community some thought, particularly if you're looking for some accountability with your intermittent fasting lifestyle. We do have 2 Zoom meetings a month, both in the Northern Hemisphere and Southern Hemisphere, so the time zones work out for everybody. The people that are joining them are really getting something out of them and really thriving in that Patreon community. You also get bonus content, extra podcasts, and also discussion topics each week. So it's well worth having a look at that, and it really helps to support the podcast so we can keep bringing it to you each week. Also, if you are interested in stories like you hear on the Fasting Highway, you'd like to hear a bit about my own or read it, you can get that in my book, The Fasting Highway, which you'll find on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle, or it's now on audio as well. You can find that on audiobooks.com. Kobo, Spotify, and many other audio platforms. Not yet on Audible, but it's widely available as an audiobook. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.